This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association, the Turfgrass Environmental Stewardship Fund, and your Cornell University's Turfgrass program. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Extension Turfgrass Specialist here in the Department of Horticulture at Cornell University, and the following are observations and recommendations for the week of May 5th, 2014. From Rochester to the east end of Long Island, mowing is underway in earnest with adequate moisture and some sunny days that, despite the air temp, has encouraged good shoot growth. Roots have been actively pushing now for several weeks, and some drying conditions will help with continued progress through the soil profile. We have learned some hard lessons about rooting the last two seasons. Two seasons ago, we had a dry spring that allowed for managers to create early season moisture stress and allow roots to explore. Last season, the same strategy began with dry conditions, then the deluge began and the roots stopped. Most had shallow, weak roots for much of the year that led to problems with summer patch, take-all patch, and Pythium root problems. Golf turf folks are ready for early season summer patch prevention with the soils warming. Our forecast information begins with a review of the temperature from last week. Another cooler than normal week with temps 2 to 4 degrees below normal for most except western and central New York that were cooler at 4 to 6 below normal. Very few base 50 growing degree days have accumulated. However, favorable dandelion control with the ester formulation of 2,4-D based on the forecast model is creeping into the New York City metropolitan area. Soils are finally consistently into the 50s along the coast while inland still struggles to get out of the mid-40s. Moisture, widespread heavy rainfall, especially along the coast, left some areas in excess of 5 inches of rain. Most along the I-95 corridor received 3 to 4 inches in a day long soaking rain. So expect soil moisture to be well stocked for the coming days. However, inland and upstate areas received less than a half an inch. ET region wide was in fact less than a half an inch. The forecast for the coming week, a bright but cool start to the week with temps as much as 6 below normal, keeping us in the 30s to 40s for lows. Late week and long-term pattern shifts may begin this week with increasing temps back to normal to above normal by next weekend. Long-term pattern suggests a warm and wet conditions are on the way. And, of course, you can check out all our weather information on our forecast website that you can access through the Cornell Turfgrass Program website. Our cooperative extension update this week comes from our cooperative extension field staff, Jerry Giordano and Walt Nelson. Jerry talks to us, first of all, about winter annuals. With recent rains, mowing has begun in earnest. Forsythia has passed and is passing the green gold stage, so crabgrass pre-emergent control should have been applied. Dandelions, violets, henbit, ground ivy, chickweed, lesser celandine, and ground ivy are blooming with abandon, but still some time until the growing degree day model and forecast indicates control. The lab phone is busy with contractors and homeowners needing to renovate turf. At this point, it's probably best to nurse subpar lawns along through the summer on a quick cosmetic fix by seeding the most damaged areas with perennial rye and saving total renovations until the better conditions of the fall. Adequate organic matter preparation, careful selection of species blend, and mixes tailored to site conditions will produce better results when they're implemented in the fall. Walt Nelson talks about spring mowing. Mowing at this time of year often includes some recreational components for many do-it-yourselfers. However, professionals are actively removing dead tissue from winter that will aid in spring greenup. As this occurs, growth will proceed and good mowing practices are worth reviewing. First, after a winter like this, it's good to walk a turf area for heaving or mole vole mounds and step them down or roll them to prevent scalping. There's no need for a 10-ton roller, just a light surface smoothing. Some might consider an early close mowing to warm soil further. However, this can lead to thin turf and weed problems. So get your mower set at a reasonable height, that is roughly 3 inches for lawns and 2.5 inches for sports fields. An annual bluegrass weevil update from the United States Golf Association Green Section Record. USGA-funded research at Rutgers University confirms that annual bluegrass sustains significantly more annual bluegrass weevil damage compared to bentgrasses. 4 weeks after the highest density of adult introduction, 12 female and 12 male, cumulative damage on the bentgrass compared to the control on the right for the annual bluegrass was greater than declaration creeping bent. So annual bluegrass was injured more than the declaration creeping bent. Annual bluegrass weevil is a serious and expanding pest of shortcut turfgrass on golf courses. Annual bluegrass is the most suitable host plant for annual bluegrass weevil and severely damaged by larval feeding. At Rutgers University, scientists provide clear evidence of bentgrass resistance or tolerance to annual bluegrass weevil. When comparing annual bluegrass to bentgrass, bentgrasses were 1. Less suitable and not preferred for egg laying, 2. Less suitable for larval development, and 3. Could tolerate higher larval densities with less visible damage. However, females laid eggs in the bentgrasses even if annual bluegrass was available. An annual bluegrass weevil developed from eggs to pupae on all bentgrass tested. Among all tested bentgrass species, creeping bentgrasses were most resistant and tolerant to the annual bluegrass weevil. My Gazing in the Grass update begins with a note about early spring greenup and Kentucky bluegrass. Spring greenup has become a defining characteristic for many improved turf grass varieties over the last few decades. The slowest cool season turf to greenup by far are the low-cut midnight type Kentucky bluegrasses that many have planted for the superior dark green in-season color. However, the very slow greenup is leading more turf managers to opt for other Kentucky bluegrass options, including planting the mid-Atlantic types of Kentucky bluegrass. An interesting study was conducted recently looking at drought stress tolerance of the Kentucky bluegrass groupings, as proposed by Rutgers University around the turn of the century. In that study, the mid-Atlantic types were found as a group to be the most drought stress tolerant. As a result, it may be worthwhile to begin to require some mid-Atlantic types such as Cabernet be included in your sod specifications for future projects. A note about sustainable turf management. I'm often asked about what is the key to moving towards sustainable turf management programs. The answer is often simple. Think through every choice that involves an input. There is some low-hanging fruit that present little risk in reducing such as fuel consumption by mowing in different patterns. Another practice now aided by science is fertilization. Dr. Michael Woods, who got his PhD here at Cornell with me in 2001, working with Dr. Larry Stoll at Pace Turf Services in Southern California, have pioneered the minimum level of sustainable nutrition approach. This approach is predicated on proper sampling and analysis and simply offers a more turf science-based approach to managing soil nutrition. In simple terms, again, why apply nutrients the plant won't need? This is especially pertinent in areas where clippings are returned and you are not actively mining the nutrients. To bolster this concept, the scientists are continuing to collect data to support this approach using the Global Soil Survey, currently promoted by the GCSAA in their Golf Course Management magazine. I urge you to explore this information to move towards sustainable management. And then finally, a note about gypsum. There is a misconception that arises when there is a belief that gypsum can improve structure and drainage in any heavy clay soil, even those not necessarily affected by sodium. A sodium impact on soil structure that requires the application of gypsum only occurs on a small percentage of turf soils. A soil test will determine the need for gypsum application and often will indicate severe sodium problems. The problematic symptoms of sodic soils are very similar to those of heavily trafficked clay soils that are not affected by sodium. Both are hard and have poor structure and drainage. To add confusion, gypsum is often advertised as a soil softener material. Most soil scientists agree that gypsum will not be useful for improving poor permeability due to problems of soil texture, compaction, hard pans, clay pans, or high water tables. Most turf managers should not anticipate a reduction in compaction and improved drainage by using gypsum. Thank you for joining me for the May 5th, 2014 version of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association, the Turfgrass Environmental Stewardship Fund, and your Cornell University Turfgrass Program. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Turfgrass Science Professor in the Department of Horticulture here at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.